ahorita un marcan. So we repeat the parable of last week, that the word of Jesus talking to Faustina. My daughter, if I demand through you that people revere my mercy, you should be the first to distinguish yourself by this confidence in my mercy. First of all, she has deemed herself to believe first. I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. Intention is for the sake of Jesus, not for your own sake. Not that people love you more and then you love them. That's not the right motivation. For the sake of Jesus, you are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. Always. From morning to evening. After midnight. Everywhere. Not only in the church. Everywhere. Marketplace, friends. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse, absorb yourself from it. No excuse. Being good, forgiving, no excuse. Not because this an exception. No exception. I'm giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. The first, by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. Good. Good memory. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy, and it is an unquestionable proof of love for me. By deed, by word, by prayer. Deed first, then words. We speak much better than word, than deeds. And at times, less prayer. We think we can do much. But this means that so glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. Yes, the first Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Mercy. But there must also be acts of mercy. And I demand the worship of my mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast and through the veneration of the image which is painted. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. So whenever we venerate the statue of divine mercy, the holy picture, remind us we have three things that are important: deeds, words, and prayer. So not just only because I look at the picture, I'm safe. This is a reminder. The mercy is a reminder. We have to live by deeds, words, and prayer. Oh my Jesus, you yourself must help me in everything, because you see how very little I am, and so I depend solely on your goodness, O Lord. So, please be humble. Ask for this special grace. Particular examine. Union with the merciful Christ. With my heart, I encompass the whole world, especially countries which are uncivilized or where there is persecution. I'm praying for mercy upon them. In particular, you know, I think in her mind is for Poland. By that time, you know, she's really praying for the country. The two general resolutions. First, to strive after inner silence and to observe the rule of silence strictly. Second, faithfulness to interior inspirations, to bring them into life and actions according to the advice of my spiritual director. In this present illness, I decide to glorify the will of God. I will try, as far as I am able, to take part in all the community exercises. I will give the Lord God fervent thanks for every sorrow and suffering. We give thanks only when we are successful. When you fail, thank you, Lord. When you are sick, thank you, Lord. I often feel that apart from Jesus, I get no help from anyone. Although sometimes I'm very much indeed in need of clarifications concerning the demands of the Lord. This evening, I suddenly received light from God regarding a certain matter. For 12 years, I've been reflecting on a certain matter and couldn't understand it. Today, Jesus gave me to know how much that had pleased him. Something she might not understand, but pleases Jesus. Not everything you do understand very well. The same as Blessed Trinity. You don't understand. You couldn't understand. The Feast of Christ the King, October 25th, 1936. During Holy Mass, I was so enveloped in the great interior fire of God's love, a desire to save souls that I do not know how to express it. I feel I am all aflame. I shall fight all evil with the weapon of mercy. I am being burned up by the desire to save souls. I traverse the world's length and breadth and venture as far as its ultimate limits and its widest land to save souls. To the gospel also, I send you to the end of the world. Spread good news. I do this through prayer and sacrifice. I want every soul to glorify the mercy of God. For each one experiences the effects of the mercy of himself. The saints in heaven worship the mercy of the Lord. I want to worship it even now, here on earth, and to spread devotion to it in the way that God demands of me. I have understood that at certain and most difficult moments, I shall be alone, deserted by everyone, and that I must face all the storm and fight with all the strength of my soul, even with those from whom I expected to get help. Even the last one you couldn't, you have to be alone at times. So don't get scared. If you try to be always stay with the Lord, it's easier. If all the time you just stay with people and also people helping you, always helping hands around, someday, sometime, you don't know, maybe not no opportunity. But you still believe Jesus is still with you. But I'm not unknown, because Jesus is with me. And with him, I fear nothing. I'm well aware of everything, and I know what God is demanding of me. Suffering, contempt, ridicule, persecution, humiliation will be my constant lot. I know no other way. For sincere love, ingratitude, this is my path, marked out by the footprints of Jesus. That's our Lord also. No expectation from anyone, just the Lord. My Jesus, my strength, and my only hope in you alone is all my hope. My trust will not be frustrated. Jesus is faithful, although we are not always. The day of renewal of vows, this Friday on October 30th, 1936, God's presence pervades my soul, not only in a spiritual way, but I feel it in a physical way also. November 2nd, 1936, in the evening, after Vesper evening prayer, I went to the cemetery, the quote, in the Sisters' Park. The cemetery, the Sisters' Park. The cemetery is just next to their common, no? Because only in Hong Kong, you have a separate place for cemetery. Even in Europe, the old churches, they have the cemeteries around the church, you know, church ground. I've been praying for a while when I saw one of our sisters who said to me, "We are in the chapel." I understood that I was to go to the chapel and there pray and gain the indulgences. The next day, during Holy Mass, I saw three white doves soaring from the altar towards heaven. That means a sign. She was praying for the sisters. No? There's a voice calling, praying the chapel. So she went back to the chapel and prayed for the souls in purgatory. The next day in the Mass, the doves flying up to heaven as a sign. Three sisters up. I saw three white doves soaring from the altar toward heaven. I understood that not only the three souls that I saw had gone to heaven, but also many others who had died beyond the confines of our institute. Oh, how good and merciful is the Lord. Conversation with Father Andres at the end of retreat. I was greatly surprised by one thing that I noticed during each conversation, in the course of which I had asked advice and direction of Father Andres, and it is this. I noticed that Father Andres answered all my questions about things which the Lord had asked of me so clearly and with such assurance that it was as though he were experiencing all himself being understood. Oh, by Jesus, if only there were more spiritual directors of this kind, souls under such guidance would very quickly reach the summits of sanctity and would not waste such great graces. It's a good direction, it's very important. Good spiritual director. I give unceasing thanks to God for so great a grace, namely that in His great goodness, He has deigned to place these pillars of light along the path of my spiritual life. The lights my way, they light my way so that I do not go astray or become denied in my journey toward close union with the Lord. I have a great love for the church, which educates souls and leads them to God. October 31st, 1936, conversation with Mother General, Beko. When I was talking to Mother General about the questions of my leaving the order, still asking to leave the order to start anew, I received this answer. If Jesus demands of you that you leave this congregation, let him give me some sign that this is his will. Sister, pray for such a sign, because I'm worried lest you should fall prey to some illusion. On the other hand, I would not want to hinder or oppose the will of God, for I to want to do the will of God. That's right, no? And so we agreed that I will still remain just as I am until such time as the Lord will let Mother General know that He demands that I leave this congregation. And so the matter was put off for a while. That's important. Obedience. Humility. She has the inspiration. She said, "Oh, this by you, it's me, no?" I said, "Okay, must appear to share also." And so, you see, to Jesus. Jesus, everything is now up to you. I'm perfectly at peace, despite this great urgence. For my part, I've done not everything, and it's now your turn, my Jesus. And in this way, your course will be made apparent. I'm totally accord with your will. Do with me as you please. O Lord, only grant me the grace of loving you more and more ardently. I think it's very important. No? You do many things and you don't love Jesus. You just do things, no heart. It's better to have a heart and not do many good things. Of course, together, but without our heart. You more and more ardently, or love you more ardently. This is what is most precious to me. I desire nothing but you, O love eternal. It matters not only what paths you will lead me, paths of pain or paths of joy. I want to love you at every moment of my life. If you tell me to live, O Jesus, in order to carry out your will, I will live. If you tell me to stay, I will stay. It matters not what I will suffer in the other instance or the other. Oh my Jesus, if I live, I know what I shall have to suffer and endure. I agreed to this with full awareness, and I have already accepted by an act of the will. It does not matter what the chalice holds for me. It is not for me to know that it has been given to me by the loving hand of God. If you tell me to turn back and stay, I will stay in spite of all the interior urges. If you still keep them in my soul and leave me in agony even to the end of my life, I accept this in the full consciousness of my will and in loving submission to you, O my God. It's beautiful. Ready. Yes, go or not go, always thy will be done. If I stay, I shall hide myself in your mercy, my God, so deeply that no human eye will see me. Throughout my life, I want to be a thurible filled with the hidden fire. Thurible, you mean the one that we alter, not thurible. Yeah, for instance. Throughout my life, I want to be a thurible filled with hidden fire. And may the smoke rising up to you, O living host, be pleasing to you. I feel in my own heart that every little sacrifice arouses the fire of my love for you, but in such a silent and secret way that no one will detect it. When I told Mother General that the Lord wanted the congregation to say the chaplet in order to propitiate God's anger, Mother told me that at present she could not introduce new prayers that had not yet been approved, the chaplet Divine Mercy, even though she asked the superior, won't accept yet, not approve. It's not their custom yet. But give me the chaplet, sister. Perhaps it can be said during an adoration, private prayer. We shall see. It would be good if Father Sopoko could publish a pamphlet with the chaplet. Then it would be better and easier to recite it in the congregation, for it is a bit difficult to do so now. So the Mass Superior very genuine, you know, not to refuse, but, you know, some space. The mercy of the Lord is praised by the holy souls in heaven who have themselves experienced the infinite mercy. What these souls do in heaven already will begin to do here on earth. I will praise God for his infinite goodness, and I will strive to bring other souls to know the glory and glorify the inexpressible and incomprehensible mercy of God. It's what it says. In heaven, we always praise the mercy of the Lord. so on earth, we start now, as if in heaven. We have Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. The Lord's promise, the souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime, and especially at the hour of their death. O my Jesus, teach me to open the bosom of mercy and love to everyone who asks for it. Jesus, my commander, teach me so that all my prayers and deeds may bear the seal of your mercy. November 18, 1936. Today I try to make all my exercises before benediction because I was feeling more ill than usual. So I went to bed directly after benediction. But when I entered the bedroom, I suddenly knew in theory that I should go to the cell of Sister so-and-so because she was in need of help. I entered her cell at once, and that sister said to me, "Oh, how good it is that God has brought you here, sister." And her voice was so faint that I could hardly hear her. She said to me, "Sister, please bring me some tea with lemon, because I'm terribly thirsty, and I cannot move because I'm in such pain." And truly, she was suffering very much and had a high fever. I made her more comfortable, and she was able to quench her thirst with a little bit of tea that I bought her. When I entered my own cell, my soul was engulfed by the great love of God, and understood that we should take care, great heed of our interior inspirations and follow them faithfully, and that faithfulness to one grace draws down others. So be faithful to the interior voice. The Spirit speaks to us interiorly. So we have to open our ear, you know. So otherwise the sister with the whole night thirsty, the body help her. November 19, 1936. During Mass today, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "Be at peace, my daughter. I see your efforts, which are very pleasing to me." As the Lord disappeared, it was time for Holy Communion. After I received Holy Communion, I suddenly saw the cenacle, and in it, Jesus and the apostles. I saw the institution of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Jesus allowed me to penetrate his interior, and I came to know the greatness of his majesty, and at the same time, his great humbling of himself. The extraordinary lights that allowed me to see his majesty revealed to me, at the same time, what was in my own soul. Jesus gave me to know the depth of his meekness and humility, and to understand that he clearly demanded the same of me. Humble. I felt the gaze of God in my soul. This filled me with unspeakable love, but I understood that the Lord was looking with love on my virtues and my heroic efforts. And I knew that this was what was drawing God into my heart. It is from this that I have come to understand that it is not enough for me to strive only for the ordinary virtue, but that I must try to exercise the heroic virtues. Although exteriorly a thing may be quite ordinary, it is the different manner in which it is carried out that only the eye of God catches. O my Jesus, what I have written is just a pale shadow of what I understand in my soul. These are purely spiritual things. But in order to write something of what the Lord gives me to know, I must use words with which I am totally dissatisfied. because they do not express the reality. So what she has written is partial. She can express really from the heart something so deep, so sweet, and so peace. She can express, you know. But last paragraph. When I experienced this suffering for the first time, it was like this. After annual vows, on a certain day, during prayer, I saw a great brilliance and issuing from brilliance rays which completely enveloped me. Then suddenly I felt terrible pain in my hands, my feet, and my side, and the thorns of crowns of thorns. Lord, pain of them. I experienced these sufferings during Holy Mass on Friday, but this was only for a brief moment. This was repeated for several Fridays. And later on, I did not experience any sufferings up to the present time, that is up to the end of September of this year. In the course of the present illness, during Holy Mass, on Friday, I felt myself pierced by the same sufferings. And this has been repeated on every Friday, and sometimes when I meet a soul that is not in a state of grace. She suffered. She's a victim soul, suffer for people. The hand, the feet, the head, the side, exactly all the wounds of Jesus she experienced in a spiritual way, of course. Although this is infrequent, and the suffering lasts a very short time, still it is terrible, and I would not be able to bear it without a special grace from God. This is no outward indication of these sufferings. What will come later, I do not know. All this for the sake of souls. So whatever you suffer, you offer. So for us, if any suffering we endure, offer it for the souls in need. You know, we can share this mission of Jesus. Life is merely for the sinners. Conversion, that divine mercy is also merely for that we can one day in fullest grace in the Lord, in the light. So we pray for one another.